Good morning, good morning, good morning, and welcome to yet another episode of Popping Off with Phil the Podcast. Happy Wednesday. I know. It's Wednesday and not Tuesday, our favorite day of the week, but yesterday, Atlanta was experiencing the 2019 snowpocalypse. No, not really. But I was working from home, and I just really couldn't tear myself away to get into a quiet space to actually do what it is I needed to do. So here we are. Trust and believe, this is not going to be a regular occurrence. I know the last 2 weeks have been a little weird. Late posting last Tuesday, no posting this Tuesday. But rest assured, Tuesday is our favorite day of the week. And next week, things will be back to normal. So you know what's interesting is sometimes you have an emotional response to something and you don't know exactly why, or you know why you're having the emotional response, but you really don't know how to put it into words, how to process it. So this week I kind of want to talk about what MAGA means to me. Make America Great Again. I think the difficult thing for African Americans, as well as other persons of color, other minorities, when it comes to this whole concept of Make America Great Again, is it symbolizes a lot more than the Republicans taking over the government. It's almost like a slap in the face, because President Trump was elected right after history was made, and history was made when Barack Obama became the first African-American president of the United States of America, and then history repeated itself when he was elected for a second term, and the world had never seen that. And Make America Great Again symbolizes that people want to erase those entire 8 years where he was in office trying to make change, trying to really grab hold of that American dream that all of us are supposedly entitled to. And Make America Great Again states and tells us that there are still parts of the American dream that we aren't entitled to, that we don't deserve. And people are acting out on that. And so that's why it's such an adverse response. No one cares if you're a Republican. It's to be expected, to be honest. If I'm being honest, as a black person, if you're white and Republican, it's not a shocker. I'm more shocked if you're white and you're a Democrat or a liberal. But not as a Republican. So that's not the shocker. But when people are staunchly in support of Donald Trump and his ideas and what he stands for, and sporting that Make America Great Again hat, it's a flag of caution to a black person or a person of color, because it's much more than just that hat. It is what some people call a modern day hood. But I guess I can say that because I'm not a white woman. When white women say that, they don't get the same feedback or the same support. But it's that and so much more. And you know, my grandfather told me when I was very, very young that white people are only comfortable with you having what they deed you, what they give you. And anytime you, as a black person, have more than that, want more than that, ask for more than that, demand more than that, you're going to have a problem. Because the world still hasn't adjusted to the fact that African Americans are functioning, contributing members of society, that we're educated. I mean, they knew these things, and so there have been so many things that have been put in place to keep us down and keep us oppressed, but we're such a resilient body of people that we find ways to overcome it. And part of it is because we're raised to believe, to think that we have to be better. We have to be better just to be recognized as just as good. And so the scholarships and the accolades and the Ivy League institutions and the doctorate degrees, whether it be a PhD or a PsyD or PharmD or a DMA or EDD, whatever it is, medical degree, a Juris Doctor, all of those things we do, and we do with such vigor and such conviction and such passion, is because we've been raised to believe that anything less won't be accepted. You know? And a lot of it is just to have, it's just to level the playing field. We're not going to even talk about in situations where we're already overqualified and overeducated, or overly qualified and overly educated. I don't want to say overqualified or overeducated, because in a lot of ways we have all that we need and more to do what it is that we need to do, and then some. But we go above and beyond just so we can get a fair shake at things, just so we can be looked at, just so we could be considered. That's the world that we live in. And when I hear or see the use of making America great again, it makes it seem as if we spent 8 years where America wasn't great. And you have to believe that somebody's going to have an adverse response to that, because we know that making America great again and the fact that people classify or quantify America not being great for the last 8 years has very little to do with the policies and the strides that were made, and a whole lot more to do with the fact that the person who was in charge of those things was a black man. They attempted to vilify him and his wife and his children, you know? We're told that children are off limits, you know? But his children weren't. Those are his children, and they're young women. But people are able to call them monkeys and bitches and excuse me, uneducated, and allude to the fact that the only reason why they're getting into Ivy League institutions, not because their parents went to Ivy League institutions, and we all know that there's a point system in that, in how that works. So, you know, you get points when your parents graduate from Ivy League institutions. At least I know when I was in school, University of Michigan worked on a point system. I imagine that Ivy League institutions work on a similar system, in terms of reviewing applicants. And there are certain things that get you points. Family members being graduates of that institution, family members donating to that institution, all of those things are points. So I'm pretty sure Ivy Leagues work in a similar manner. Please correct me if I'm wrong. But, you know, all of that to be negated, it's she's taken up space for a more qualified white applicant. Those were some of the things that were being said about Malia Obama on her acceptance into, I believe, Harvard, but whatever institution she went to assume that she didn't earn that because of her grades and the essay she wrote is ridiculous. But guess what? Even if she got in because it's a system based on nepotism, I mean, let us have a win. You know what I'm saying? We lose so many times. Let us have this one win. But that's not the point. The point I'm trying to make is that that hat, that people who wear that hat, people who support Trump, I am distrusting of all of those things. I was driving in my car yesterday and there was a man in front of me who had a Trump Pence sticker on his car. And for a moment, I literally contemplated all of the negative consequences of ramming my car in the back of his. Because that's how frustrating it is to me to see. You know, a man who's obviously getting up to go to work just like me, driving an older vehicle, a vehicle older than mine, but getting up to go to work just like me, and supporting somebody who doesn't really give a damn about the working class. I just, it puzzles and befuddles me. And so it's just so frustrating. It's so frustrating. And then to see a brother being attacked. And see, we have to pay attention to symbolism. Jussie Smollett was attacked in Chicago. And they tied a noose around his neck. And they poured chemicals on him. Now, I know there's some different things going on, competitive thoughts going on that says, you know, he personally was being targeted. He had received some type of notices and threats or whatnot. And, you know, obviously they knew where this person was going, where he was going to be or whatever the case is. But my thing is this, to go through the effort of that, like, what if Jussie Smollett wasn't where he was? That could have very easily been any person of color who happens to be a member of the LGBTQIA community. And not to take anything away from Jussie Smollett and his suffering, obviously this is a horrible and horrendous thing. But you know, celebrity plays a part in the fact that his attack is being highlighted and it's gotten so much national attention, you know, all the way down to Kamala Harris making comments about it on her Twitter or saying things about it publicly, a lot of other stars saying things about it. But let's be real, the type of attack that he suffered 2 days ago is the type of attack that happens on a regular basis, and none of those people are getting that type of attention. Not to say that they personally need it, but attention needs to be given to the crime itself. Just last week, a young brother that I follow on Instagram was attacked in a public parking lot. And there were onlookers, and the onlookers were security. So even if you aren't responsible for the security of this particular lot or this space, would it have hurt to call out to make it known that you witnessed what was going on? Would it have hurt to call the police or authorities or someone to say, we just witnessed an attack? Like, is that the world that we live in? Have we become so cold and callous that because we don't agree with a person that we allow them to be attacked or hurt or harmed? And I don't know if the people who witnessed the attack were black or white. I don't know for sure if the people who attacked this young brother were black or white. I can make some assumptions. But regardless of the offenders or the onlookers, a lot of this shit is tied to the world that we live in and how President Trump and people who don Make America Great Again hats and shirts and posters and stickers and bumper stickers, their thought process and how they feel emboldened to say and do whatever it is that they want without any thought of repercussion or recourse. You know, my heart goes out to Jussie Smollett. Obviously he's a member of my community, but my heart is also pierced every time I know a young brother or a young woman is attacked who doesn't get a headline. A trans woman or man who's attacked or far worse, killed, murdered. And no one ever says anything about it or no one ever brings it up. It's a heavy world that we live in, you know? It's a lot to deal with. The fact that young boys and girls, middle school and elementary school aged young boys and girls, only find solace in suicide. because they're teased and criticized and ridiculed in their safe space. Your home is your safe space. If you can't go home and avoid the same type of vitriol that you see and hear and feel on the streets or in schools or at work, where can you be safe? And nobody's talking about these things. And nobody's talking about how these things are getting increasingly worse because of the overall environment that we live in. No one's talking about how children and babies are some of the most loving creatures ever. And they're taught to be hateful and be spiteful and be mean and to be racist. They're taught that behavior. I can go into Target today and every baby in a cart will smile at me if I smile back at it. Doesn't matter if they're black or white or Indian or yellow or purple. If their parents are gay or straight. It doesn't matter. But we're living in a world where that type of behavior is being allowed. Where that type of behavior is being cultivated. And people don't even know what it is that they're supporting. They don't even understand the backstory of what it is. You know, people always want to say, I don't want to be held responsible for the crimes of my ancestors. But they continuously want to profit and benefit off of the crimes of their ancestors. Okay, that's not the way that works. You got to take it all. You got to get it all. I was just reading another post on Facebook that a friend of mine was involved in. And I actually plan on asking him to be on the show at some point because he's extremely controversial. And we don't even always agree, you know. But we're both intellectual people, you know. And so anytime you're in discourse with someone who's an intellectual, as long as you are able to, it's not about arguing and it's not even about convincing, it's about sharing ideas. And so I think it would be interesting to have him on the show because he's disinterested in having white allies. And you know, a lot of black people were responding to his comments, more so than white people. And I'm pretty sure that the original post or the original poster has black and white friends, but a lot of black people were criticizing him for his views and him being very adamant about being disinterested in having white allies. And most of this was because Alyssa Milano recently came out and said that the Make America Great Again hat was the new hood, you know, basically liking it to the hood that the Ku Klux Klan wears. And, you know, his response to that was, you know, she's a white woman. And so she brings these white devils into the world. That was pretty much his response. You know, it might be harsh, but the reality is he was basically saying that, you know, white women bore these children, raise these children. They go out into the world with their white privilege and become these young men that want America to be great again, you know? And a lot of people were like, you know, how could you be this way? How could you say these things? If you have this attitude, we'll never get anywhere. This whole concept of allies and allies. And, you know, his response was, I'm disinterested in having white people as allies. I'm disinterested in this thought or this process of bridging this gap and coming together and being kumbaya. I don't think it works. We've tried it. It doesn't work. They're disinterested. And, you know, I think what he said holds some weight because I think black folks have always been willing to hold hands. I think black folks have always been willing to compromise, to be peaceful, to coexist. But if we're not the individuals who control the power, if we're not the individuals who need to change, then, you know, what are we doing here? And I think that's kind of where he is. And you know, it really makes me think about how Dr. King and Malcolm X looked at things differently in terms of what we actually need from white folks. You know, one school of thought was we need to work together. One school of thought is we need to come together. They're different thoughts. They're competitive thoughts. They agreed to disagree very openly, very publicly. And the only conversation that the two of them ever had was unrecorded and undocumented. The only thing we got was a picture. We have no idea what they said to one another, which is a great episode of Different World, by the way. It's when Dorian and Terrell have a class assignment in Dean Dorothy Dandridge Davenport's class about the conversation between Malcolm X and Dr. King, and it was never documented. But if what do you think they said to one another? I think it's an excellent episode, one of the best episodes of A Different World. It's probably season 5. You should definitely check it out. But the point I'm trying to make is that, you know, we as black people have different ideas about how important it is for blacks and whites to come together for the greater good, if it's even possible, you know. And I think for a lot of people are just tired. People are tired of having to be civil rights activists 70 years later. And unfortunately, a lot of our activists are dying. They're getting old. The C.T. Vivians and the Reverend Lauries I'm having a brain freeze right now. The John Lewises of the world, they're getting old. And the interesting thing is, in a lot of ways, a lot of the advocacy that's going on for blacks, Black Lives Matter and whatnot, are queer people. People that are black, but also happen to be part of the LGBTQIA. It's a lot to remember. Community. But we have black people who want to invalidate the work and efforts of the Black Lives Matter movement because the women are queer. So, you know, there's so much infighting between us that we can't even come together. Because if we could do that, that would probably be more powerful than trying to always rely on white folks to get with the program. Just a thought. Just something to think about. The world we live in is so discouraging sometimes. I don't have children yet, but I want to have children. But I question, what world will I be bringing them into? My cousin posted on her Facebook the other day that it burdens her, it saddens her that one day she's going to have the conversation with her son of the dangers of being a young black boy. You know, that awkward, uncomfortable, but very necessary conversation that we have to have with young black boys about, these are the things that you have to do to come home alive. White boys don't have to have that conversation. And what used to be sacred was the respect for women and children. But now we have to have those same conversations with our young girls. Because you too may not come home safe either. We need to think about some things in terms of our community, in terms of how we're going to respond to things. You know, there's a lot on the line. We have an election coming up in 2020, and we need viable candidates, or at least a viable candidate. We need viable candidates to select from. And then from that, we need a viable candidate that isn't just capable of, it's not about making history. We're trying to find somebody who can defeat President Trump. That's what's important. Let's just be real. Let's just be real about what it is. We need to find somebody. We need to identify somebody. And then we need to support and strengthen that person financially, but also in votes so that they can beat that man. Because we have to regain some type of normalcy in our country, because it doesn't exist right now. It doesn't exist at all. My grandfather also used to say that he feels like integration was the worst thing that ever happened to us. You know, a lot of these things he said when I was young, and even being a college student, like, you understand, I went to college in the South. I came to Georgia for school. And I think a lot of times people forget that Atlanta is a very small city and a very large state, because there's a lot of cities in Georgia, and a lot of them have old antiquated ideas, and some of them aren't that far up the road, or down the road for that matter. And I didn't understand his argument, because he didn't really explain it. He just basically said that, you know, we would have been all right, we would have figured it out, as we always do, had things been kept separate. And I think about, in history, all the times Black folks have tried to remain separate and peaceful. You know, you give us, you know, it's a dollar and 15 cents is the best way to describe a person of color. Black people, you know, making something out of nothing. Like, we've always been fed scraps. We've always been given the worst land. But somehow we figured out a way to make a feast out of scraps and make dead land fertile. And what happens is, once they realize we can survive on little or nothing, they want to take that. They want to burn that down. They want to pillage the community and kill the people. They want to find an excuse, a reason to be hateful and to destroy what we got. So maybe Otis Holly was right. Maybe integration wasn't the greatest plan. You know, sure, it gave us an opportunity to be some places we weren't able to be, and drink from fountains we weren't able to drink from, and go through front doors. But what did it cost us? It's an interesting thing to think about, really. But I don't want to continue to ramble on. I just wanted to say, because I think it needs to be said, that when it comes to white folks, I don't know who to trust. And whether a person is outwardly donning a MAGA hat or not, I know that privilege is so much bigger than a hat that you wear or a sticker on your car. And it concerns me, it worries me, that if I'm in a situation with someone who is white, because as Amanda Seale says, there's a difference between a person who is white and a person who have what did she say? She said a white person and a person who happens to be white. There's a difference. There is a difference. But this world's a tricky place, and it's disheartening to be in a position where I always feel like my safety is at risk. And it's coming from multiple angles. Because first and foremost, I'm a Black man. Then secondly, I'm an educated Black man, and God knows that's scary. And then I'm a gay Black educated man. So, you know, I my search for allies is a lot tougher, because white folks don't like me, Black folks don't like me, heterosexual folks don't like me. You know, there's a lot of people that I sometimes have to fight. And that's not a good place to be. Doesn't feel great. Anyway, good people, happy Wednesday. I think it's important that we, those of us who do have friends that happen to be white, that we look at as allies, that we have these conversations with them, so we understand where they're coming from. And I'm not totally against having white allies. I'm not there yet. But there is a strong distrust. But it's just a safety precaution. It is merely a safety precaution. I want to ensure that I am safe. And I'm sure many of us feel the same way. Don't allow don't allow what goes on in the media to confuse us about what's going on in our communities. Jussie Smollett is not the only person being attacked for being black and being gay. He's not the only person who's in danger. And I think we need to think about that, because he'll be all right. But that young brother or that young sister in high school just trying to walk from first period to second period to third period or walk home after school, he or she may not be all right. You know? So while I believe that his story being at the forefront and getting that type of attention is great, let's not forget about the regular average person who needs that same love and support and the same amount of people rallying behind him, regardless of what their views are, regardless of what their color are, regardless to if they're gay or straight. They need that support too. They need to feel that love too. They need to feel that people care for them as regular people. You know, making America great again means so much more than just being a Trump supporter and wearing a hat. And I really hope people who are wearing those hats understand that. And they're only going to understand that if those of us who happen to be friends or family with those people begin to have those tough conversations. Because they're important. And for those of us who know white allies, who are friends or have family members who are not necessarily allies, we need to encourage them to have those conversations too. Because we need to get on the same page, or else this world is going to, like my grandmother used to say, to hell in a handbasket. Anyway, I'm going to go because I'll keep rambling and I don't want to do that. Hope you guys have a wonderful Wednesday. And I hope you had a terrific Tuesday. And we'll meet back up at our favorite place next week to discuss God knows what. Anyway, I love y'all for real. Have a great one. Peace.